Tonight's scripture reading is from 3 John 1, 1 through 4. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, who I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth.
I first want to say I appreciate the fact that Mike has given me the opportunity to be here this evening to talk to you this evening about something I think is very important to all of us, and that is our souls. I'm hopeful that this lesson will answer the question, why is it well with my soul? It is well because, number one, God is in control. All things work together for good. Troubles are temporary. Salvation is available for all. And the end result is victory. So as we leave here this evening, we should all be able to explain why things are well with our souls. I'm hoping to encourage the faithful Christian to recognize the peace that he has with his life and exhort the sinner to gain peace through God's plan for his salvation. As was read to you here a few seconds ago, from 3 John, and there's only one chapter in 3 John, I know, but we'll just take it as it is. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The third epistle to John is written to Gaius, his friend. And during the salutation, John expresses his desire for Gaius' good health. He compares his physical health with his spiritual health. He says that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be healthy, even as the soul prospereth. He recognizes that Gaius is in good spiritual health. In essence, he is saying that things are well with his soul. Now I ask the question, is it well with your soul? We have a song in our songbook which we just sang. It is well with my soul. This song was written in about 1876. And the man who wrote it had some very traumatic things happening in his life. Number one, he was a lawyer who had extensive holdings in the city of Chicago where the Great Fire was, and in that area where the fire was in the city of Chicago. And right after that fire, he lost his two-year-old son. As the downturn in the economy happened at that time, he and his wife had been planning on traveling to Europe. And so he sent his family ahead while he contended with the things that were happening back in Chicago. On that trip, the ship that his wife and his four daughters were on was sunk in a collision with another ship. And he lost all four of his daughters. And the only one that survived was his wife. Well, as he traveled to be with his grieving wife, by ship. When he passed by the area where the ship was sunk, he wrote these words to the song that we just got done singing earlier. And it's a great testimony to him about how he felt with regards to the loss of his three daughters and his son and the trials and tribulations that he had with his business. Because he understood that as long as he had God in his life, that it was well with his soul. Well, it is well with my soul because the first thing, God is in control. Now, have you ever felt out of control? There's not too many worse things and feelings in the world than that, not having control. And I've had some auto accidents where I have not been in control. I've swerved off of highways and other things, and in snowy situations and wet situations, things like that. I understand what it means to lose control. And it's not a good thing. Many fear flying because they're not in control. And we do not we don't like to feel or be out of control. Life can sometimes feel out of control. Perhaps well in our jobs, perhaps we have family members who made bad choices. Perhaps going on in the government. And what can we do when we feel that life is out of control? We can know that God is in control of all things. 1 verse 3 it says that he upholds all things by the word of his. In Colossians chapters 1 verses 16 through 18, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, beginning the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He might have control. We might also consider what it says in Isaiah, verses 28 through 31. Where it says, hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, never is weary. There is no searching of his understanding, power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. We can compare these things with Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 through 27. Knowing that God is to our lives, it means that I don't have to have all of the answers. And I don't have all the answers. No one has all the answers. It means that God will deal with the choices of others. I don't have. It means that regardless of what happens to me in my life, God will take care of me if I seek him first. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says that God will do that. Now let's consider what it says in Matthew. Where'd I put my Bible? Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 31. Yeah, I'm afraid spectacles have to come out. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 31. Now when he got his disciples followed him, and suddenly there a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was when his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said, why are you, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey? God's got control. This just shows that God has control over everything. We can have the attitude of Paul in Philippians, the first chapter in verse 21. First chapter in verse 21, where it says, he to live is Christ and to die is gain. The second thing I would like to point out is all things work together for God, with God. In Romans 8, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the God and to them called according to his purpose. Excuse me. It means that It is sometimes hard in a bad situation. It is easy to focus upon bad things. We tend to worry about problems that yet don't exist. Instead, we should be focused upon the possible good that might come. Joseph, in the Old Testament, his brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. He was out and sent into prison, but God raised him up. When Joseph's brothers feared him, he said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass this day, to save much people alive. In other words, that. The other thing I want to talk to you about is, what about Jesus? He was rejected and despised of men. He was cruelly beaten and crucified. But God raised him up through his death and brought salvation to all. In Acts chapter 23:26, unto you first God, having raised his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, every one of you from his iniquities. So God work all things for good. We can have peace knowing that even under bad circumstances. In Romans chapter 8, verses 7, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love him. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And we have to conquer the things that are around us. Next thing I'd like to touch, things are temporary. Troubles are temporary. There's an old spiritual that proclaims all God's children have got troubles. Everyone has troubles in his life. Disagreements with friends, neighbors, family, shortage of finances, debt. Some have more basic problems, hunger, nakedness, lack of shelter. There are troubles associated with war. Some have diseases. All death. Our problem becomes how to cope with the troubles that we have. The Bible teaches us that for Christians, at least, troubles are temporary. Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but man perish. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen How about Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4? And God shall wipe tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more. The former things have passed away. Knowing that our troubles are temporary gives us peace. In James chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, brethren, count all joy that we when we fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that trying by that excuse me that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Matthew chapter 5, 11 through 20, 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say in all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Another thing is that salvation is available for all. Consider a world in which the possibility of salvation does exist. One would be without hope to live. One would have no peace or comfort from death. But salvation is now available to all. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of those that believe. John 3:16, for God that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Because salvation to all, we can have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the end result, how does it feel when you know you're going to win? Feels good, right? Have you ever watched a game in which you knew your team was going to win? I did that Friday night when I watched the Wisconsin Badgers go and score 51 unanswered points against Utah. Made me feel good. My team was winning. Have you ever played a game where you knew you were? There's a certain peace of mind that comes with winning. And the Bible says people are going to win. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God with us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 John chapter 5, 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that cometh, that overcometh our faith. And in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and faithful. And because of that end result in victory, we can have peace. So, in conclusion, it is well with us. God is in control. All things work together for good. It's only temporary. Salvation is for all. And the end result is victory. This peace is only available to those who are Christians. If you are not a Christian, you don't have these promises. If you are not a faithful Christian, then you don't have these promises. Make changes today to ensure that in the end, all things will be well. Are you in a state where you are well with your soul? That happens to be one of my favorite hymns. And now that I understand what went behind that in the coming of that, how it was written, I have a better understanding of the man that wrote it and also the reasons why he wrote it. He was at peace and his soul was well, even though he had gone through all these trials. And they're far greater than the things that we have experienced in this life, and far greater than I've ever experienced in my life. Because I have never lost a child. I had a business go belly up. I have never in my life faced the challenges that this man did when he wrote that song. Yet, it was well with his soul because he knew that he had God on his side. I urge you this evening, if you're not well with your soul, to make your soul right with God and come to him at this time as together we stand and sing.